We're turning this morning to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. If you're following in the pew Bibles, it's on page 240. Joshua chapter 24, we're going to read the first two verses. Actually, we're going to read the first three verses. And then we're going to jump to verse 14 and read through to verse 18. Some well-known verses. I've got new glasses, so if I fall over, don't panic. It's just because the ground has moved out of the corner of my eye. But I'll do my best not to do that. Joshua 24, verses 1 and 2, and this is what we read. Sorry, verse 1 to 3. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants." And then we move to verse 14. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed these great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations throughout which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." And we end our reading there and we thank God for his word. Let us pray. God, we pray the blessing of your word upon us as we think about it, as we hear what Joshua is saying to the Israelites. May we hear what you are saying to us. And may we also consider who is the God that we worship. Is it the God of our forefathers? Is it the God of Egypt? Is it the God of the land in which we are now living? Or do we serve the Lord? We pray that you will speak to us through the power of your Spirit. Amen. In 1999, when Joanne and I were still dating, we had been together about 3 years. It was before that we got engaged. We went up one evening and we were out and we just really weren't enjoying ourselves. It was just too busy, too noisy, and so we decided that we would go for a drive, that we'd go for a drive down to the beach and we'd just sit in the car talking. And we just spoke about all sorts of stuff. And part of our conversation led us onto talking about how we wanted to serve God, how we wanted to live out our faith and make our faith a big part of our lives. And I remember us both saying that we could see ourselves one day serving God in another country. In our heads, well, in mine at least, I pictured us being missionaries in some far-off land. When we left South Africa in 2002 to move to Ireland, we weren't thinking about that. It was only supposed to be a two-year trip that we were making back then. But when we came back to Northern Ireland in 2008, after we had lived in England for a while, it certainly was with the intention to serve God together. The problem is, though, is working out exactly what serving God together looks like. It's always been a struggle for us to figure out what is that? What does that mean? What does it look like? What exactly are we supposed to be doing to serve God? And I think that can be a challenge for many of us who want to serve God in some way, but we're not sure how to do that. The context of this passage is quite important for us to understand what is going on here. Knowing that he didn't have much longer to live, Joshua calls the people of Israel together. He calls the leaders together for one final speech. And the setting that he chooses is Shechem. Shechem is an important place for him to gather these people. First of all, it was a natural amphitheater where the sound carried well. So it was a good place to gather large groups of people together. He didn't have a Brian McKibben to sort out the sound desk for him to get the sound out. So it would have been a good place to gather a large crowd together. But Shechem was also an important place to gather the people of Israel together for this speech, because of its historical significance to the people of Israel. It was here that Abram first camped when he left his family on the other side of the river, that river that he refers to being the Euphrates River. It was the first place that Abram camped when he left his family. It was here that God made a promise to Abraham that his descendants would own this land, would occupy this land. And it was here that Abraham built an altar to God. It is also the place where in later years, Jacob, whose name would later be changed to Israel, that Jacob camped when he returned to the promised land with his wives Leah and Rachel. He also built an altar there. He called the altar El Elohe Israel, which means God, the God of Israel. And also at then a later stage in Jacob's life, it's here that he comes in a stage of his life where he's recommitting himself to God, that he brings the idols that have found their way into his household and he buries them here and he sets them aside. It's a very significant place to bring the people of Israel for them to consider who they would serve. And it's that challenge that Joshua puts to the people that I want us to think about today. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Joshua is clear on who his choice is. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I've been particularly challenged this week in what Joshua means when he says that we must serve the Lord. My first job when I left school was to work as a waiter. And over the next 20 years, I would work in the restaurant industry as a waiter or barman or as a manager. One of the things that I enjoyed the least about working in restaurants was the way customers feel that they can treat you when you work there. That because you're there to serve them, you're their personal servant. And they can treat you and talk to you any way that they want. And they expect you to be always at their beck and call, and no matter how busy the restaurant may be. It almost seems like good training for ministry. But serving doesn't always conjure up pleasant or positive thoughts. And so if I choose to serve the Lord, is that going to be a killjoy? Am I now going to have to do church work? Am I going to have to do Christian work? Whatever that looks like. And stop doing what I'm doing, even if I really enjoy the things that I'm doing. And that can be off-putting. But what if that's not exactly what Joshua is talking about here? What if when he is talking about serving God, he is talking about doing it in a different way? The word serve used here is a translation of the Hebrew word ovad. And we see it used seven times in verses 14 and 15. In the version we read from, six times it's translated as serve, and the seventh time it's translated as worship, which shows us different ways that this word can be used. It's a word that's used a lot in the Bible. And it's used in Genesis when we're told that God put the man to work in the garden. And that's the way it's mostly used. It's used in a way that talks about doing work or to be working or being a servant for someone else. But it's also the word that Pharaoh uses when he says to Moses that the Israelites may go out into the wilderness to worship God. So while this word can mean doing work, it means more than that. To serve God is also to worship God. And we can see that meaning coming through more when we consider the choices of gods that Joshua presents to them as an alternative to serving Yahweh. What we see is that when he's talking about serving God, he is talking about the way we choose to live our lives. He is asking them, who are you going to be? Who are you going to choose to be the one who gives you the guidelines and the boundaries that determine the way you live your life? Who is the one that will help you know and understand what is right and what is wrong so that you can choose to do what is right? And so to help them to choose who they will serve, Joshua presents to them different options, different gods that they might choose to serve if they don't choose Yahweh. In verse 14, he talks about the gods that their ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River, the gods they worshipped in Egypt, and in verse 15, the gods that were worshipped where they were now living among the Amorites. Choose to serve one of these gods, Joshua is saying to them, or choose to serve Yahweh. And it's the same choices that we're faced with today. Who will we serve? Who will we allow to be the one who guides us, who influences the way we live our lives? Who will we choose to worship, to glorify in the way that we live? He starts by talking about the ancestors. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. It's a stark reminder for them that their forefathers came from the other side of the river, where pagan gods were worshipped. Joshua is telling them that their past heritage is not as a people of God. They were moon worshippers. They worshipped idols. And sometimes we can find ourselves serving the gods of our ancestors, the god of our heritage. The question, of course, that raises is, what is our heritage? It's more than just our family tree. You might say that our heritage is the soil that our family tree grows in. Heritage is about symbols. It's about qualities and traditions that are passed down from previous generations. It's not just about culture, but it's about values, both good values and bad values that determine our heritage. And so as we sit here together this morning, we might have different heritages. Well, I know that we do, because my heritage is certainly different to most of your heritages as you sit here. My family tree might be made up of Zeelis from Germany and Veronikas from Greece and the Warrens from Cornwall and some guy from Venice whose name we don't know. So my family tree cannot determine my heritage. But what they all share in common is that at some stage, they were all European settlers. They were all colonists who went to South Africa in search of a new life. And so there's a colonial heritage there that takes place in a part of the world that has a history of deep-seated racism. And in this part of the world, there is a heritage that also includes elements of sectarianism. Do we serve the God of our heritage? Do we choose to be more loyal to our heritage, to allow it to guide the way that we look at the world and how we respond to it, to determine what our attitude is to people that we encounter? If I chose to embrace my heritage as a guide for living my life and treating others, it would look starkly different from embracing the ways of God. Do we serve the God of our ancestors, or do we choose to serve the Lord? Or perhaps Joshua says you will choose to serve the gods of Egypt, the gods of your upbringing, the gods of your youth. What were the things that guided you and influenced you before you came to know Jesus? What was the standard by which you measured right from wrong? And here we might see the influence of our family trees. We might see the influence of organizations and groups and friends that were around us, of governments and ideologies. Perhaps we were influenced by celebrity, by philosophy, by the way we saw our parents and other significant adults in the world respond to the world around us. And so we choose a loyalty to them and to a past that is no longer with us. And for some reason, sometimes it's misplaced loyalty, sometimes it's looking back with rose-tinted glasses, sometimes we don't want to let go of these things. But they're not of God. They're things that have come from human wisdom. Are these the values? Are these the gods that we choose to serve in our lives? Or is it the gods of the culture that we find ourselves in now? That's what Joshua is talking about when he mentions the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. In 1 Peter 1 verse 17, after calling us to be holy in all we do, Peter says that we should live out our time as foreigners. In other words, we mustn't serve the gods of our culture. In order to be holy, we live as servants of a holy God. And that makes us like foreigners, different to the people that we encounter most of our days, in our workplaces, in our schools, at our university campuses, in our neighborhoods, in our shops. And those that are going off to university this year need to be particularly alert to these other gods, to the challenging and seductive forces of the evil one who will try to make you question what you have been taught and what you have been told. Now, that's not to say that sometimes the Holy Spirit won't be challenging you to question those things that you might have been taught and might have been told, because those things might have been influenced already by heritage and by upbringing. It's important that you are aware that not everything that appears to be good, wise, or sensible is any of those things. In 1 John 4, verse 17, John writes that we should not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they come from God. I believe this is important, it's vitally important, that we are aware of the influence that these three gods that Joshua talks about has on our lives. Because there are a lot of things that we have been raised to believe to be true and right, whatever our age, that have been influenced by our heritage, that have been influenced by our upbringing, that have been influenced by our culture. And sometimes they have found their way into the church. And sometimes they've influenced the way that the Bible is read and the Bible is taught and interpreted in some places. I've seen it in South Africa, in how the understanding of us being a chosen people can be influenced by a heritage rooted in colonialism and racism to justify the evil that was apartheid. I've seen in Northern Ireland how people's upbringing can influence the way that they talk about other people. And they see nothing wrong with it because everybody else is doing it. It's the normal way of doing things, so it must be okay. We see in America how the Bible is misused to further political agendas that in no way reflect the kingdom that Jesus came to announce. And more online, I see things posted by people I know, so I know that they're not bad people, but they are strongly influenced by the culture that they live in. Things about immigrants, about Muslims, about Jews, about politicians, about sportsmen and women, about people living on benefits, and they're liked and they're shared, but they are so out of sync with what we read in the Bible. The hold that the God of our culture has on us is probably the most difficult one to shake. Maybe more so now than ever, because of the advancement of technology means that we are bombarded with it so much that we either don't know how to switch off from it, or we find it really hard to ignore. Paul warns Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 that the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. We need to be careful that we don't fall into that trap, that the things we sign up for, that the things that we believe are based on sound doctrine. That's why both John and Paul, not the Beatles, the guys in the Bible, both John and Paul write that they must test everything, because Satan is the craftiest of all the creatures. Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods that your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Will you allow God's ways and His standards to be what guides you in your life, that helps you make the decisions that you need to make, that teaches you the appropriate way to respond and relate to people, what that looks like and what that sounds like in your professional life, in your family life, in your school life, in your university life, on the streets, in the shops, and even online? And that's not always an easy thing to do, especially when we're surrounded by a culture that has different values to what Jesus teaches. But we've been persuaded that they are acceptable. And sometimes that even includes church cultures. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy when our heritage is rooted in colonialism and racism and sectarianism or xenophobia or homophobia. It's not easy when our upbringing has taught us things that maybe we didn't understand were contrary to what God expects of us. And God is saying to us today through these words that Joshua speaks that we must ponder on these things, that we must think very carefully about them, that we must consider who it is that we truly are serving, that we are placing at the center of our life and our life choices. Joshua first tells them the story of Israel, the good stuff and the bad stuff. And then the people think about it, and then they tell their story back. And then they choose to serve God. They've taken the time to consider their own lives, to consider their own story, their heritage, their upbringing, the culture that they're in. Who have they really been serving, and who do they want to serve? Over the past few weeks, Norman has been looking at Psalm 23. There are many shepherds that we can choose to follow, that we can trust with our lives. David is adamant that the Lord is his shepherd. And Joshua here is asking us to consider who our shepherd is. Joshua knows who he has chosen, but to everyone else and to us, he is saying, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Think about it. Ponder over who you have allowed to be the God of your life. Are the things that we believe, are the ways that we respond, are the ways we talk about people and situations, do they reflect the God of the Bible? Or do they reflect the God of our heritage? Do they reflect the God of our youth? Do they reflect the God of our culture? Choosing who we serve is only a choice that you can make. It's only a choice that I can make. So choose wisely and choose carefully. But think about it, ponder over it, and choose this day whom you will serve. Let us pray. God, we pray for wisdom in this day. We are not islands that exist in this world. There are so many things that influence us, so many things that shape us and form us. The heritage that we bring into our lives that we cannot escape. Our family and our upbringing that is in the past and it is done. And the culture that we find ourselves in today. So many things that come at us, that shape us, that have made us who we are. But when Jesus sits down with Nicodemus, he says, we must be born again. We must be made new. You say that you will put in us a new heart, that we will be a new creation, that the old has died and the new has come. And so God, in the days that lie ahead, may your Spirit minister to our spirit. May we connect and understand the wisdom of our God to help us to see what is it that we've held on to that is actually of the old, that it is time to let go of. that are there better ways, your ways, in how we respond and how we react and what we say and what we do, that glorify you, that show that in every aspect of our lives, we worship you, that you are the God that we serve. And then, God, we pray that over the coming weeks and months, we will have the courage to let these things go, so that we can stand and say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Amen.